The important thing for the progress of physics is not the decision that a theory is true, but the decision that it is worth taking seriously, worth teaching to graduate students, worth writing textbooks about, above all, worth incorporating into one's own research. From this point of view, the most crucial early converts, won by general relativity after Einstein himself, were the British astronomers, who became convinced not that general relativity was true, but that it was plausible enough and beautiful enough to be worth devoting a fair fraction of their own research careers to test its predictions, and who travelled thousands of miles from Britain to observe the eclipse of 1919. But even earlier, before general relativity was completed and before the successful calculation of the precession of Mercury's orbit, the beauty of Einstein's ideas had led Erwin Freundlich of the Royal Observatory in Berlin to mount a Krupp-financed expedition to the Crimea to observe the eclipse of 1914. The war forestalled his observations, and Freundlich was briefly interned in Russia for his pains. The reception of general relativity depended neither on experimental data alone, nor on the intrinsic qualities of the theory alone, but on a tangled web of theory and experiment. I have emphasized the theoretical side of this story as a counterweight to a naive overemphasis on experiment. Scientists and historians of science have long ago given up the old view of Francis Bacon that scientific hypotheses should be developed by patient and unprejudiced observation of nature. It is glaringly obvious that Einstein did not develop general relativity by poring over astronomical data. Nevertheless, one still finds a widespread acceptance of John Stuart Mill's view that it is by observation alone that we can test our theories. But as we have seen here, in the acceptance of general relativity, aesthetic judgments and experimental data were inseparably linked. In one sense, there was from the beginning a vast amount of experimental data that supported general relativity, namely observations of the way the Earth goes around the Sun, and the way the Moon goes around the Earth, and all the other detailed observations of the solar system, going back to Tycho Brahe, and before, that had already been explained by Newtonian theory. This may at first seem a very peculiar sort of evidence. Not only are we now citing as evidence for general relativity a retrodiction, a calculation of planetary motions that had been already measured at the time the theory was developed, we are now speaking of astronomical observations that not only had been performed before Einstein developed his theory, but also had been already explained by another theory, that of Newton. How could a successful prediction or retrodiction of such observations be counted as a triumph for general relativity?